Welcome to Market Street to Main Street, AIM's legislative episodes of the Hometown Innovations podcast and a supplement to our e-newsletter, Legislative Summary. During the legislative session, this weekly podcast series will offer a rundown of what happened at the State House and important legislative action and issues our members need to know about. You'll hear AIM's expectations for the upcoming week and the team's strategy for addressing critical legislation.
Hi, welcome to Market Street to Main Street, AIM's special legislative series of our Hometown Innovations podcast. I'm Jennifer Simmons with AIM. Joining for this final podcast of the 2024 legislative session are AIM CEO Matt Greller and the exhausted but always on point Jenna Bentley. Matt, Jenna, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks.
All right, Matt, you've been around for a minute. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this session in terms of how municipalities fared, with 1 being horrible, 10 being, you know, shut the front door, amazing?
Well, I think everybody remembers what happened most recently, right? So recency bias is, we had one of the best last days of session that I can recall in quite a while. A lot of issues turned our way in a positive way, I believe. Jenna will get into those here in a little bit. But overall, I think it was very good. If I had to give it a Dave Portnoy Barstool pizza grade, I would say it was about a 8.4, which if you follow him on social media, that's a very high rating. So I'll leave it there and let Jenna fill in the details. But I think we've most importantly really set the stage heading into what we know is going to be a extremely important 25 session.
Yeah. Jenna, you're not a State House novice yourself. So on a 1 to 10 scale, how would you rate lawmaker willingness to help municipalities and the sort of that general understanding of why it's important to work together on issues affecting cities and towns? So how did you see that this session?
You know, it's hard for me to give a number. I think there are different categories, but to Matt's point, I think kind of knowing the ideas that were floated and where we landed, I would go with Matt's 8.4 in terms of momentum. And I was just watching some pizza reviews, and 8.4 is hard to get. I think it does set us up for some productive conversations leading into 2025. I'd say really, I'd give our members the last week a 10 out of 10 in terms of engagement and really helping us have a good last day of session, because I do think we had to turn it up a bit in terms of pressure from our members to legislators to get our point across on some of our major issues, which I know we'll get into, including property taxes.
Mm-hmm. I would add there, Jennifer, that Jenna did a really good job of deciding when to deploy the membership in the legislature. Sometimes we can overreact too early, but I thought we did a really good job this session of timing that involvement from our members right when it was needed. Mm-hmm. And I think it helped a lot coming down the home stretch.
Yeah, I agree. Let's start with our AIM initiatives, Jenna. We've noted them in the printed version, or not printed, or the online version of Legislative Summary, written, I guess is the better word. But for those who haven't had a chance to read it yet, what happened with our proactive efforts?
Yeah, I'd say we've made progress in a lot of areas. You know, I think there's always a little disappointment in that. I wish we could have done more, but I do think this session sets us up for continued conversation on a couple of areas, especially. So one issue area that we've been working on, I think, honestly, since my time at AIM, has been public notices and modernizing how those are published. Obviously, we'd like to have our members have additional flexibility on when and where they can post these notices. So Representative Meltzer had a bill that would allow for notices to be published on the electronic version of a newspaper if that newspaper website is updated at least 3 times a week. And if they're not doing that, then it could be published on a municipality's website, which is a huge step, I think, in the right direction. And then House Bill 1328 clarified or allows additional appropriations to be advertised in Gateway rather than published in a newspaper. And this is a really big deal. I do know that when you know our cities and towns are putting together their agendas for each meeting, just the timing of publishing the notice for things like additional appropriations takes time with some of these schedules for newspapers. And then finally, Senate Bill 252 from Chairman Buck changes and allows more locality newspapers, which are these smaller newspapers, to be eligible to publish these notices. This was in response to a new newspaper starting up in Morgan County that will hopefully give some communities there some additional flexibility and one other option to post their notices. So we worked extensively with Chairman Doug Miller on moving the ball forward this session. He's committed to continuing to work with us and wants us to get together this summer to either talk about can we publish all notices on our website or on a state third-party website. So he just wants to make sure we hit the right approach, and I'm grateful that he's willing to continue that conversation, at least on public notices. Another area where we worked with Chairman Baldwin and Representative Zimmerman, a newer legislator, is mobile and manufactured homes. We've started getting a lot of questions and feedback from our members on just issue with some of these older homes, homes that are just clearly unsafe or unsanitary, some unresponsive property owners. And so Representative Zimmerman's bill clarifies that you can use the unsafe building code to address issues with mobile and manufactured homes. It also gives back some local planning and zoning authority to dealing with mobile and manufactured homes. It's a small step in the right direction. We're hopeful that we can keep working with Chairman Miller to honestly, I think there needs to be a conversation on the difference between what you view as a manufactured home and a mobile home and some of the mobile home parks. Right now in code, they're treated the same. And I think some of the issues are different depending on the age of the structure and just the standards around it. And then a continuation from last session as well. So the DORA bill passed, which we are incredibly grateful for. We've seen a lot of cities and towns use the designated outdoor refreshment area statute. House Bill 1197 clarifies that a craft brewery can be the designated permittee, which I think will help some communities in Northwest Indiana. So we are grateful that got across the finish line. And then last but not least, some mobile integrated health language ultimately passed in Senate Bill 256. This was a huge priority of our legislative committee chair, Mayor Jensen. This establishes a fund for cities and towns to apply for when they're starting or growing their mobile integrated health programs. And we do know there will be some ongoing conversations on that one when it comes to reimbursement from private insurance as well. The chairman of House Insurance tasked the Insurance Institute and the local communities interested in that change to work together this summer and see if they can come with a non-legislative fix. But if they can't, then we'll be back next session working on that issue as well. So again, steps in the right direction. I know some of our members would like to see bigger steps, but hopefully it paves the way for more work next session.
Thanks, Jenna. We talked a lot this session about property taxes, specifically the MLGQ. We've also had a lot of conversations in this podcast and in legislative summary regarding TIF, two huge issues for cities and towns. You want to talk through what happened in those last hours of session on both TIF and property taxes?
Yeah, happy to. So I guess I'll just start off with a headline. No major changes move forward this legislative session. But when talking to House and Senate fiscal leadership, it's definitely a to-be-continued conversation. So over the last couple of weeks, there was a huge focus, as you mentioned, on the maximum levy growth quotient, which is really the only way the city and town's property tax levies grow, all units' levies grow. So last session, it was capped at 4%. for 2024 and 2025. This was in response to property tax bills and increased assessed value and the General Assembly's attempt to provide some type of property tax relief to homeowners. There was language amended into 1120 by the Senate that would have extended that cap into 2026. So we talked to Chairman Holman, Senator Baldwin, who authored that amendment, Chairman Thompson, and even the Speaker about, you know, instead of capping this for another year into 2026, can we please have a bigger, broader conversation through the state and local tax review task force this summer? And so this will be an area of study this summer. I do think there are certainly some members, especially Senator Baldwin, who are interested in changing MLGQ. As our members know, it's based on a 6-year rolling average of non-farm income and some questions about, is that the right measurement of growth? So we're happy to entertain and participate in those conversations, but grateful that that language didn't move forward. There was also conversations the first half about the excess levy appeals and changing the qualification for a unit to be eligible to request an excess levy appeal to the DLGF. That language didn't move forward as well. And then you mentioned TIF. There was that kind of confusing provision that was meant to prevent a unit from removing a parcel of land from an existing allocation area and putting it back in the exact same allocation area for the purpose of resetting the base. The way it was drafted, it didn't use or reference the term allocation area. So we were concerned and other stakeholders were concerned that it could have impacts for economic development areas and just broader impacts. So Chairman Thompson agreed to take a closer look at that issue this summer. And then one other area as it relates to TIF that did pass is the IADC can designate an innovation development district with the approval of the budget committee and the executive of a local unit on top of an existing allocation area, as long as the executive agrees. So that's a big change, but hopefully by requiring that agreement, cities and towns and counties can come to the table with the IADC and negotiate that on these major economic development deals.
Thanks, Janet. Matt, you had a lot of conversations with mayors and legislators in this last couple of weeks. You kind of alluded to this. How important was that to Jenna's efforts in the State House? How did that complement those efforts?
It was critical, in my opinion. Rarely do you get to see legislators texting back municipal officials, telling them about how a particular decision went on a bill before it became public. And that's what we had happen on particularly on the property tax front, what we were seeing happening. And I will give a lot of credit to the new municipal officials that took office in January. Many of them were not shy. I have already established relationships with their legislators, which was just really important in those last few days of session as we asked them to reach out on behalf of not only their communities, but all cities and towns in the state. And it worked out extremely well. So again, I think it was the good decision by Jenna of when to deploy those resources. If we ask municipal officials to contact legislators on every single issue, all throughout session, it becomes, just a deafening approach, and it doesn't work. So I think the strategic approach is really something we've worked on over the last few years and is bearing fruit today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Jenna, before we talk about 2025, I won't say what bill did you hate the most. That's strong. So what bill do you like the least?
I don't know. I would say there are some preemption bills that obviously AIM generally doesn't support, but the bill that kept me up the most the last couple of weeks was House Bill 1120, which was the property tax bill, and it was one of the last bills of the session, but it ultimately, like we've already talked about, landed in a pretty good place. But I'd say when I was up at night, not able to sleep, it was certainly about some of these property tax provisions and just knowing that that conversation is not going to go away into 2025.
Yeah. Yep, that is nice. All right, but you said it, Matt said it, 2025 is going to be a big legislative session. We've talked about it here a few times. I know you've been working on the list, Jenna. There's also a list in today's legislative summary. My guess is that list is going to grow over the next couple of months as we learn even more. But maybe hit the peaks. What are the big issues that we're going to need to start preparing for, you know, tomorrow in preparation for 2025?
I'd say to start, so those of you who reach out to your legislator on property taxes, one, I would make sure you thank them that that language didn't move forward this session, but then send a follow-up in the coming weeks or months and ask if you can get together with them to talk a little bit about property taxes, your budget, because that conversation is not going away. As I already mentioned, there's conversations around the MLGQ. Senator Mishler had a bill that he heard but didn't move that would have eliminated residential property taxes. You know, I've talked to the lobbyists at the Manufacturers Association, and with a new governor, he joked that their agenda is going to be aggressive, which means you can pretty much count on conversations around business personal property tax. So any kind of property tax related conversation we've had over the recent years is likely going to be on the table heading into 2025. Senate Bill 256 also extended the first task force, which is the road funding task force. We know that there's going to be a lot of focus on how to fund Indiana roads into the future as the market's changing with electric vehicles versus the gas tax and what that's going to look like. But two, I mean, this is the first session that I can recall where I was having multiple meetings the last couple of weeks of sessions specifically on 2025 topics. So if you've followed along, you know that annexation comes up every year, but usually it's a Senate introduced bill that doesn't get a hearing in the House. I do know that Chairman May, who chairs House Local Government, is interested in taking a deeper look at the annexation statute. What's working and what's not, and quite frankly, what's not working for cities and towns too as we manage growth. So hopefully that won't be a one-sided conversation, but a good conversation on how we're extending our utility services and growing our boundaries. Two, I do think there will be some conversations on utilities. Matt and I had a brief conversation with Chairman Soliday, who chairs House Utilities, where he talked about lead service line replacement for municipally owned utilities. We also know there's issues with public rights of way and cable pollution, and he wants to get stakeholders together on that topic specifically too. So that's the beginning of what I know will be a very, very long list, as many legislators were told not to bring controversial topics this session. So I'm sure they have long lists of their own heading into next year.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. All right, Jenna, awesome session. You too, Matt. Congrats. This is our last legislative podcast for maybe 10 months or so, but please do watch your email, watch Municipal Dispatch. I'm sure there will be updates and requests along the way, as Jenna mentioned, things we'll want to start accomplishing here over the summer and fall. Please keep an eye out for that. Also, register for the AIM Legislative Wrap-Up webinar coming up on March 27th, I believe, right, Jenna?
It is definitely sometime in March. Yes, it is the 27th.
I see Erin shaking her head, so I think we're good. March 27th for the AIM Legislative Wrap-Up webinar. In early April, we will also have a State House report, which is a comprehensive publication on bills impacting municipalities that did pass this past session. And then eventually in the next couple of months, you will see updated already, the AIM Municipal Officials Handbook will be updated digitally to include any new legislative changes as well. So thanks for joining us. We appreciate you sticking with it this session, and we will talk to you soon.